So in preparing for tonight, it's a passage that's been laid on my heart for probably a year. And unfortunately, my mind doesn't exactly work right sometimes. As you all know, when I do announcements, it doesn't work very well sometimes, does it? So unfortunately, I'm thinking of this passage of Scripture and Tina Turner's song pops in my head, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Okay? And, you know, part of the lyrics from that song, and it was a catchy tune, is, "What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it, and no, I'm not singing it." Okay? "What's love but a sweet old-fashioned notion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?" And some of you will remember that she says, "What's love got to do with it?" It's a secondhand emotion. So Tina Turner's perspective on love is one that's guarded and secondhand. And then my mind started going, and I started recalling when I thought I was in love. Fourth grade, it was Trina. I can't remember fifth grade too well. I think I got in trouble too much that year. Sixth grade, it was Missy and Shannon and Jackie. I switched schools that year. Junior high, it was Jody and Kelly and I think another Kelly and Michelle. I think I'll stop there so I don't get in any more trouble. And I thought all of that was love, and I am so glad that it was not, because I found the love of my life right here, Kim. And as you're beginning to think right now, hopefully some thoughts, and I hope that you're squeezing hands and shoulders and arms. I don't hope there's no elbows that are happening. But even in our country right now, if you follow the news, is that there's a question of love that's happening, and it's in the Supreme Court. And that question about what love is whether or not it's a constitutional right for same-sex marriage. And Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, and Franklin Graham also helps with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child that some of you might do. He really exhorted the Christians to pray for each Supreme Court justice by name. And I would encourage you to do the same, that their decision would be one of godly fear and reverence more than anything else. And even within our congregation, who remembers Why Marriage a couple weeks back? Okay, that's okay. Five people are paying attention during sermons. Is that was a key thing of love was in it has to do with marriage. And some of you might be thinking of your past relationships, your relationship right now, and all of us are concerned about love and the relationship that it exists in. But more importantly than that is probably, what does God have to say about this? So as you turn to 1 John chapter 3, just a few things is that 1 John is that popular chapter which is on love and God's relationship with us. And we're going to talk about God is love, as it reads in 1 John 4, verse 8. And he expresses this concept through the entirety of the book. So before we read these verses, of just imagine a small home church, who knows, 10, 15, 20, and this letter from John comes. And mind you, they don't have electricity back then, if you recall. I know we take it for granted, but even in those adobe type of houses, or it might have been in Rome and marble or wherever it might have been, is that they're using daylight to read this letter, and they've read this letter from John, and within that letter, the word love is used in there so many times. And he's really trying to convey by power of the Holy Spirit of what love truly is. So we're going to cover a whole three verses tonight. So hopefully you can put your seatbelts on for that. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. I didn't want to scare everybody, but I sort of like teach the school of discipleship a lot, and I would have been good just on that phrase, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we're called children of God. But they wouldn't let me bring my 7-foot whiteboard on stage. You know, sort of like a security blanket sometimes. But we're going to get through this passage, and there's three aspects that you're going to see. And the first one is the love of God yesterday. Now, those of you that are much wiser than I am, due to the color of your hair, will remember the Yesterday song. Who sang Yesterday? The Beatles. Okay. And one phrase in there was yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. But this love of God yesterday that we're going to begin to talk about in verse 1 is not something to hide away from, because the penalty for hiding away from it is so great. So let's look at that first verse. Behold. Let's just stop there. Does anybody use that in your vernacular every day? Parents, your children wake up in the morning, behold, here's breakfast. No, nobody does. We have sort of lost that, what that means. And probably in our vernacular is if somebody is close to us and something important is happening or something important for them to listen to, hey. And then your neck is going to snap around to whatever is going on to see what it is, whether it's something physical, an accident, there's going to be an accident, or it's something important to say, or some of you are checking your winning lottery numbers in the morning on Fox 21, you know, or something important to pay attention to. And this is calling attention to, because you need to have immediate action with what's going on. What manner of love? What manner of love? Not what kind. And the word manner is like, you know, I'm thinking of elbows on the table and opening the door. It's not talking about that manner. It is talking about the depth and the importance of what is being said about God's love. It's talking about this is an inordinate high degree of love. This love, what manner of this love is different than this love right here. And what does this love have to do with? Well, first we find out where it comes from, don't we? The Father. What manner of love? The Father. So that source is from there. And I am so glad that source is not from me. Well, I was waiting for my wife to say amen, not you all. But because we know how messed up we are sometimes. Okay? Does anybody have a pet name for your spouse? You know? Mine's Jerk. So, for me. It's not Love Muffins sometimes, but. So what we know how flawed we are, and what we can misappropriate in this text is that when we see the love comes from the Father, is we will start to remember our own Father. And what we are just doing is misinterpreting that application. Because our Heavenly Father is perfect. Our Heavenly Father doesn't let us down. He doesn't say the wrong thing. He doesn't screw up. None of that. So the Heavenly Father, God the Father, is the one that is originating this love. So it's unflawed, unmarred, it's perfect, bestowed, has bestowed. I'm going to see if I can use that word this week. I would probably say, did you bestow the things in the back of the minivan? That's, you know, I'd probably mess it up. but to give with lasting effect. It means not just to give, because give is a very simple word. You know, I gave you this, give me this. But it's the recognition of relationship, importance, the value of what's being given. Okay, we might think of back in the days of chivalry, a squire when he becomes a knight, that title of knight is bestowed upon him. Is those who here had kids graduate? Who here had seniors graduate? Who here saying, woohoo, one less kid? No. I went to the Falcon High School graduation, and you see all the kids that are going up. But do you remember the part where the principals, they read something in presentation, and then usually the district superintendent or somebody more important than the principal says, I accept. And so these degrees of high school degrees are being bestowed upon these students. It's not a piece of paper. Oh, here you go. They've just done what? 6 years that they've had to pass. Those like me, it was might have been longer, but they met all the requirements, and it was bestowed upon them. And what is the result that's happening right now? First of all, it talks about who? Bestowed upon us. Now, us is a pronoun. For those of you that are English geeks, you realize that. It's a pronoun. But us limits what and who it is. And that next phrase describes who us is. It's the children of God. And with that bestowal is that we are called the children of God. The love is given to those group of people that have received it, that they are different. Now their name is different. They are children of God, not in a generic sense that it's a creator to his creation, but in a relational sense that we'll see in a minute. Because if you recall back through the Gospels, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, what are the first two words? See, this is Bible quiz time. See, I can't get the school discipleship thing out of me. What are the first two words? Our Father. Not only Jesus' Father, but with the disciples who were with him, he just said, my Father is also your Father. On how you pray. Some of you might be recalling, hey, there's, you know, Jesus was teaching, he's healing people, and he's inside a house, and then these four friends bring this quadriplegic on the mat, and it's cool, they ripped off the roof, and they lowered him down through the roof. Remember that story? And he heals them, says, get up and sin no more, and all that. But then they bug him, say, hey, your sisters and brothers and them there, and your mom's outside. And this is what he says in Matthew 12. He says, and he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So he has just described who the Father is by calling them brothers and sisters. And this leads to this aspect, and here's your $5 term that most of you will remember. It's called adoption. The Father's adoption of this. Now, we within our church is that you'll recall we promote Project 127, or we promote Lutheran Family Services for adoption. And even within our own life is that my youngest, who most of the time he's running around, is 10. Well, we adopted him, I think it's 3 years ago, come October. But we've had him since he's 14 months old. And some of you might have adopted kids, and you know the love that you've had towards those children, regardless of what the circumstances are, that you've went past just caring for them to adopt them. Now, we all know how we are. And for those that have faith in Christ, think about God adopting you. And to me, just that phrase, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we're called children of God, that he's adopted me. Not because I was good, definitely not because I can speak good, but because of his love. And how does that love originate? All of us remember, even if you watch football, the number one Bible verse held up at the football game, John 3:16. So let's think about that verse, because what does this love that God gave us, what's the love of God yesterday? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. And it's talking about Jesus. And in that word of giving, his Son is encompassed his incarnation, his coming to this earth, of his becoming a person just like us, of him living the life that he lived under the Roman government. But it goes beyond that. It wasn't just about him coming to the earth and going down to Costco. He lived a sinless life. He was accused unjustly, punished in innocence, died. And it wasn't an easy out death either. For those of you that have seen the Passion of Christ, that is probably one of the most visually accurate movies of the crucifixion. Do you understand that is the love that the Father bestowed? That's the love. And so the love of God yesterday is realizing what he has done in sending Jesus. Jesus' death is that love. And it's realizing that, it's grasping that, it's having faith in that, that does what? Where we're called children of God. The second part of that verse, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Boy, I got 14 minutes about left, and I have made it how far? This is awesome. There's two bad songs I put in your mind. You know, Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It, and the Lego Movie, Everything is Awesome. Okay? You will remember nothing about this message. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And when you look at that, it's easy to say, okay, I understand that. Well, the thing that's pitted against each other is we just talked about the world, is the children of God. That is what the difference is. And throughout Scripture, it talks about this transfer that happens. In Colossians 1:13-14, it says this, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The contrast there is the power of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. If you read Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about our citizenship is in heaven. Is that there's a line that's drawn in the sand between what kingdom is there. The other verses that come to mind, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, just the first six verses. For those of you that have faith in what Jesus has done, this is who you used to be. You used to be a child of wrath. A child of God's wrath. Not children of God, children of God's wrath. The second point that's in there is that you used to be a son, air quotes, daughter, of disobedience. That's who we were before we knew Christ. The love of God yesterday is Jesus' death. And it's still continuous. And as we go through these next two verses, what you're going to see is the love of God tomorrow and the love of God today. If we read the next verse, the love of God tomorrow, verse 2, It reads, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Again, we have another term. So we have children of God. Now we have beloved, those that are loved. Now we are children of God. It's a present tense in that relationship with God. And here's where the tomorrow starts to come in. It has not yet been revealed. So we don't know. It's not happened. Okay? If you know, if I was a magician, it'd be like, okay, you see this? It's under the, we put it under the covering there. And the magician usually does something and he whips that covering off. And then what he's done is revealed, whether he makes a bird disappear, a bunny out of the hat, or whatever it is. But it's not revealed. And the same with us is it's not revealed what we shall be. However, even though it's not revealed, is that the thing that John is saying, it says that we know. Well, if they know, how do they know? They know because Christ talked to him about this. The disciples passed it on. The apostles passed it on. It was part of their teaching that we are not always going to be like this, that things are going to be different one day. And when is that time? It says when he is revealed. Who? Jesus. The love of God tomorrow is seen in the return of Christ for those that are beloved, for those that are children of God. We call it the rapture. And we get that word from the Latin, rapturo, which is from 1 Thessalonians. And here's your Greek geek moment. It's harpazo in Greek. Because you will have, well, there's no such thing as the rapture in the Bible. So you just go to your bookshelf and you grab your Latin Bible and say, here it is. Because that's where the word came from. But we see God's love for us tomorrow, anticipating when Christ is going to come back. In studying about megachurches in the 70s, I was this big, so I wasn't studying in the 70s, but recently. Some of you will recall, and I'm not going to point at people, but some of you will recall that one of the key teaching points was the return of Christ. It's not only about the end times of what's happening and going on, but it was that expectant, imminent return of Christ. And that's what John is pointing to. He's reminding him, yes, we don't know how we're going to be, but what we do know is Jesus is coming back because he said he was. And when he does, we're going to be like him. Because even though we have the Bible, can anybody put pen to paper or even fathom what that's going to be like? The one thing some of us are happy about is we still get to eat. Okay, you'll remember that. We still get to eat. Some of us are hoping for other things. But God's love tomorrow is that we are going to see Jesus. We get to be with him. A few verses that is supposed to comfort us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 through 18. And it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." And that means dead. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." How much comfort do you take in Christ's return? Because the other question that we can ask is, do I even really think about it? And when we look at the love of God yesterday in Jesus' death, we look at the love of God tomorrow in Jesus' return, and we anticipate that with hope. Tomorrow is dependent upon yesterday. Because if you don't have that relationship with God, if you're not a child of God and believing in what Christ has done and what and his sacrificial death, that he paid the penalty for your sin, there's not a love of God for tomorrow. And Jesus was very clear about that. As everybody gets warm and fuzzy when we read verse 16 of John 3, don't we? But if we read 17 and 18, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Well, I still like that one too. But it's this next one, these next few. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. That does not sound very hopeful for somebody that's not a child of God, somebody that does not believe in the name of Jesus Christ, meaning his entire being and what he's done, and he's paid for our sin and he's rose again. But if you do, praise God, we're not stuck in Colorado Springs in the month of May for eternity. Are we? If you even start to imagine Christ coming back, you know, every once in a while you're looking at the peaks, right? Well, we sort of haven't for like 2 weeks, but you're looking at the peaks and those clouds will break open in just a certain way, won't they? Especially in the afternoon. And what happens? That light shines in on those clouds. And I'm just like, it would be so cool if it's right then. It would be so awesome. I don't care about my Ford F-250. It would just be cool if he came back. We see those glimpses of glory just in nature. And when we look towards the sky, even as the disciples were looking up when Jesus ascended, those angels said, "Hey, dude." Well, they didn't say that, but "Hey, he's coming back the same way." So when you look up and you see that, recall to mind the love of God. And then last, in verse 3, the love of God today. "And everyone who has this hope in him sins as much as he wants." No, it doesn't say that, does it? "Purifies himself even as he is pure." And this, where you can't get this confusion, okay? Because, okay, it's just me. I know nobody else thinks like that. "Man, I'm so bad. Why did I do that? Lord, forgive me. I repent. I'm going to read my Bible like 3 hours tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do. Or I'm going to make sure I do this. Or I'm going to make sure I do this. Or I'm going to make sure I do this." And you know what happens when we do that? Is we've just taken the cross and the blood of Christ that he has shed for our sin and says, "It is not enough. I still have to do something." When you start tacking on things to do to make yourself feel better instead of embracing the grace of Christ paying for your sin and repenting, which means getting on God's path, not your own, is that we're insulting the cross. Now, what I'm not saying, okay, what I'm not saying is that you do not live your life according to God's plan and according to his priorities. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's why we need to repent, because we're over here in left field. Repenting is coming back over to what God's way, God's life for us, those things. But we do not earn his forgiveness. Do you understand that? If your faith is in Christ, he's paid for it and you're forgiven. The purification is to make holy, to set yourself apart for God's purpose. is to remember where your citizenship is at, to remember that you're a child of God. Thank goodness I'm not a child of wrath. I'm not a son of disobedience. He's given me his love in Christ. And so I follow after those things that he's said, that he's done. So the love of God today is Jesus. Not only as he is pure and giving an example for us to live our life, is that we can, you know, I'm pretty good. I wear sandals all the time, just like Jesus. And I ordered me a robe off of Amazon. One piece, doesn't have a seam in it. Is that we can get so wrapped up in the example of Christ that we turn it into a set of rules. So not only is his life our example, but for us to recall who he is. Because today is full of trials and tribulations, isn't it? Amen? Everybody's great, just me, sorry. Amen. Trials and tribulations, and we know that Christ went through the same. You recall the path of crucifixion. But not only that, Hebrews chapter 2 says what? That he was tempted in all manners as we were. That what you're going through, he identifies with. And he did that because he's your brother. And he understands. And he it's not like, well, Jesus is never tempted like this. No, he was. And so the love of God today is for us to remember what Jesus did, for us to follow after the things that he has put before us. And to not buy stock in the eternity of the earth. So as we close, those three things from these three verses, I want you to consider the love of God yesterday, Jesus' death. And God knows your heart, and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you because you don't have faith in Christ and what he has done, you don't have faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, that he paid for your sin, I pray he gives you the smackdown right now. Because you know what? You're never going to understand the love of God tomorrow. You're not going to see Jesus coming back in the clouds, and you're not going to be with him. And I pray that you experience the love of God yesterday by embracing what Christ has done for you. For those of us that have got caught in the righteous rut of Christianity, where's your hope? Where's your hope? When you get pulled over by that cop for speeding because you're late for work, are you accepting it with gratitude, saying, thank goodness there's no cops in heaven, we're all saved? Are you remembering what's going to happen? This is not it. Our eternity is set with him, and we aren't stuck in these old bags. But if you're struggling today, are you remembering the love of God today through Jesus? He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with. He's got the answer. You can snap a rubber band on your wrist all you want, but I'd much rather have Jesus. So if you bow your head with me and just of giving that opportunity to those that might be struggling even right now. If you want to experience the love of God yesterday by placing your faith in Jesus and what he's done, you can raise your hand, you can stand up. And I truly pray that you come forward. And yeah, we're going to give you a believer's packet and a Bible if you want one. But do you understand the gravity of your decision not to place your faith in what Jesus has done? This could be your last time. And I speak from experience. I was 15 years old. I ate a car head on that was going 60 miles an hour, and I was on my bicycle. And it took me knocking on death's door to realize tomorrow is not guaranteed. So if you want to place your faith in Christ, that he paid for your sins, that you'll be with him in the future in eternity, I ask you to lift your hand, to stand up where you are. Second, for those of you that understand the love of God yesterday, if you have forgotten where your hope is at, I ask you to humble yourself and stand. Because that's where our joy is at. That's where our motivation is at for the next day, is his return. And then last, if you've been living life on your own, forgetting who Jesus is, who he was, and what he's done, and you need him right now, go ahead and stand. Father, I just pray for those that are standing, and you know each heart and every circumstance is going on. For those that have forgotten the joy of the return of your son, that twinkling, that moment that will be with you for eternity, that sin will no longer have any influence on us, but will be perfect and will be just as he is. May you restore to them that freshness. For those that have forgotten that Jesus has suffered even as we have, that he's been tempted as we, who are trying to live life on their own instead of turning to their Savior, may you renew within them a steadfast heart pursuing after him. And we just give you all the glory for what you're doing tonight. May you continue to minister to each and every heart that's here, even as we close with this song in reflection and worship to you and what you've done. May all of us remember your love, not only from yesterday and tomorrow, but your love today through your Son. In Christ's name, amen.